Podcast 14, episode 14 of the Insane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men, where Mike and Ray talk about the coronavirus again, opening ceremonies and panic buying. Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Awesome. Nasal passages nice and clean and clear. Chest good.
Well, you must be one of the exceptions there. Apparently, we had one outbreak in Burke, Hampstead, I think yesterday, which is only a few miles down the road.
It's getting closer.
Yeah, someone died in Watford.
Really, well, according to the papers, Hertfordshire, 13 people so far.
Jeez.
Contracted it. We've got one in Bucks, but that's because they keep fiddling with the boundaries. They've got a load in Slough, which is like on the doorstep, but they conveniently partitioned that into Berkshire. So I think there's a lot of fiddling going on.
Shouldn't you be self-isolating?
Yeah. I have been. It can make you go blind.
The problem is, if you've got loads of friends and great social life, you really are going to suffer from this coronavirus.
We're going to be fine. No problem. Okay. Unless the postman's got it, that's it. And that woman at Asda on the checkout, that's it. They're the only two people I speak to. Anyway, hey, lovely story the other day. I don't know why it's arisen again, because it took place last summer. But there was a DJ in Birmingham, your neck of the woods, and he'd had his kitchen extended. They had this fantastic kitchen extension. Okay, as you do if you live in Birmingham. And for a joke, he was so proud of it.
He's lucky he's got a kitchen.
Yeah, not many in Birmingham. But for a joke, his mates said, hey, you're so pleased with that. Why don't you get someone famous to come and open it for you? Have a ceremonial opening.
Open his kitchen extension.
Yeah. Okay. So this was obviously a down-the-pub discussion. Anyway, he presumably before he sobered up, he contacted the Lady Mayoress of Birmingham at the time. And there was a lot of quivering about. But in the end, a couple of his mates knew some other people on the council. And she came along and did a ceremonial opening on his kitchen extension.
Ta-da. Did she wear like her
picture
chain
on the internet?
Say.
Absolutely, yeah. Fantastic. And it got me thinking. I had a look at ceremonial openings. And the weirdest one, I mean, some people reckon the London Olympics was a bit odd. But that was mainly Paul McCartney's singing. But the weirdest one was a place called the Gotthard Railway Tunnel in Switzerland.
Yeah.
35 miles long, great feat of engineering. And the Swiss were obviously really proud of it. So they had a proper opening ceremony with the government there, heads of other governments, you know, load of people there. And it was really weird. There's some great pictures on the internet. There were over 600 actors involved in this ceremony. And at one point, a lot of people were rolling around on the ground in white underwear. Don't know what that signified.
Maybe they're Mormons.
Maybe they were sponsored by, you know, Surf or Daz.
Calvin Klein.
Other detergents are available. Then there was a procession of milk floats, because it was all stuff to do with Switzerland. In the middle of it all, an actor strolls out into this auditorium where it's being opened. And he just sat down on a camping chair, pulled out his sandwich and started eating a packed lunch. This was all something to do with Switzerland. And the pièce de résistance was a topless woman dressed as a bird with wings and like feathers down her legs and stuff like this, hovering above actors dressed as the nine workers who died during the construction. I mean, isn't that fantastic?
I read somewhere that this was a blatant satanic ritual. Did you hear about this? To quote this newspaper, the satanic and sodomite imagery surrounding the opening of the tunnel,
oh my God,
show the artistic and religious preference of the globalist elite. It was a symbolic anti-Christian act of devil worship.
What, for the opening of a railway tunnel?
Apparently, yeah, the Gotthard Tunnel.
Yeah, the Satan line, obviously. So we've got to avoid milk floats now because they're anti-Christian.
Yeah.
So what have you done that would require a ceremonial opening?
I built two barbecues. One with you in Spain.
Yeah, that definitely needed someone famous.
I seem to remember. And it's still there. I mean, we built it, what, about three,
so
4 years ago?
So it's not too late, yeah.
We thought that it
might
be...
Well, we don't know. It might have fallen down in the interim.
The barbecue before that was made out of solid stone. and it had been there for ages and ages and ages.
Vespasian's 50 time.
Years. Yes, yeah. And that, apparently, according to my housekeeper over there, was blown up in a thunderstorm. A bolt of lightning hit it.
Was it a national monument?
It should have been.
I think ours will be.
Well, then we rebuilt one, didn't we? And we
only took a week.
from this pack, and we had to cement it together.
We did have the housekeeper maybe over to open it.
But we thought that might be the only edifice standing after the
apocalypse. Well, you and I built that wardrobe upstairs.
In my house?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, we did, didn't we?
I don't remember that. It only took a day.
Yeah, we had about 30 screws left over, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
There must have been excess screws.
Yeah. So if you had, I mean, obviously you haven't, but if you had created something worthwhile,
yeah,
who would you get to do the official
opening? That's pretty easy for me.
Who's that?
It'd be Jen Ryan, the woman who plays Seven of Nine.
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
Is she an outstanding intellectual?
No, she's a Star Trekian person.
Oh, right.
She's part of a clique.
You wouldn't get Spock to beam down?
Call the Borg. No, no, Seven of Nine. Have you not seen Seven of Nine?
No.
I suggest you post a picture of her on our Facebook page. Anyway, I'd have Seven of Nine. Or, to trump it all, I'd have Harry and Meghan. Because they're short of stuff to do, aren't they?
Yeah. Great thinking.
Yeah.
So when I plant another rose bush in the summer,
yeah,
assuming I'm going to survive this deadly virus,
yeah,
when I plant another rose bush, then I could get Harry and Meghan to come over.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because they're no longer royal. So no, they
well, not
do
in
it.
Their royal capacity, obviously. Yeah.
Anyway, talking about the virus, what about this panic buying?
Ah, panic buying.
I mean, first of all, it was masks.
Mm.
Like, I was doing some sanding and I went to tool station and they were out of masks. And I said, why? Has everybody started to sand stuff? They said, no, people are worried about this virus. Although these masks are no good for that. They only keep out sawdust and crap. So masks went first. Then it was hand sanitizers.
Yeah.
Which apparently are not as effective as soap and hot water anyway. And then the one that got my goat was toilet paper.
I don't want to be caught short without any toilet paper.
Well, the thing that I ask is, if there's going to be no food,
yeah,
why do you need toilet paper?
God, that's a very deep question.
This virus doesn't cause diarrhea.
Panic buying is interesting because we tend to think of ourselves as rational. If you had a robot population and the robot presenter came on the telly and he said, it's a really good idea now because, you know, people are going to need to use more toilet paper, that we maybe buy two rolls, but no more than that because we want enough toilet paper to go around. And Mr. and Mrs. Robot, who would be listening to that, would think, yeah, that's eminently sensible. And they go down to Sainsbury's and they buy two toilet rolls, perhaps one more than they'd normally buy, just so they'd be okay. If that was a human presenter and human people who were listening to it, they'd go down to Sainsbury's and they'd buy the entire stock of toilet paper. Panic buying shows how irrational people can be.
Well, it's also extended now because pasta, I was in a couple of supermarkets yesterday and the shelves, there's no pasta. Soap and long life milk. I mean, at least these things are more sensible than toilet paper, but, you know, what has got into people?
Pasta, isn't that the biochemist?
Yeah. Guy? In Australia, some of the shops are hiring security guards to patrol the customers to make sure they don't buy too much. And I understand that most of our supermarkets are now bringing in limits so you can buy two toilet rolls. But, of course, what you do is you go there every day or you send in the whole family. Or you put on a disguise.
You could go down the windmill today's pub.
I want some toilet paper.
You could go down to the windmill today's pub and you can nick his toilet paper. That's the thing to do.
Well, the nicking has already started. And on a bad point, not a humorous point, last week in Northampton General Hospital, somebody went in and ripped the hand sanitizer off the wall in one of the toilets and took it home. And some other people actually went round the wards pinching surgical masks. You know, now the health professionals are putting their own lives on the line looking after sick people, and there's scumbags that are going around and pinching the protection that was intended for the health professionals. It's disgusting. Italy now, the country's in total lockdown. And they've actually said to the UK, don't wait till it gets any worse. Have a total lockdown now. And presumably Boris and the other people, those that haven't already been infected in the cabinet, are actually discussing this. Do we have a total lockdown now? Which means everybody being forced to go into self-isolation. In China, this has actually helped to control the spread. And they had police patrolling the streets. And if you were out on the street, you were asked, it was only in an emergency. So if you ran out of food or a relative was sick, that you were allowed on the street. And they're talking about, you know, should we introduce that here? So in other words, if we were forced to go into self-isolation, the big question, I guess, for most people, how would you fill your time? So Raymond, if they said, okay, 14 days, you've got to stay at home, you can't go out, how would you fill your time?
Well, much the same as I feel it now, really.
Yeah.
I sit around watching the telly.
I mean, because some people, I can imagine, particularly the woke people, they're going to be computer games.
Yeah.
You know, all these different computer games. Maybe having a total Netflix binge for a fortnight.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
You could do useful stuff like learning a language.
Muy bien.
You know, I've got that Spanish program that I need to do, so I'm there. Gardening, so you can get out in your own back garden, which is healthy.
I might do more charrock dancing. I prefer to dance on my own.
No, do something useful.
Okay.
Do something useful. I mean, the interesting one, you could write another book.
Yeah, yeah.
How's about we get together on Skype and between us we write a rock opera?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. Well, I tell you, it's better self-isolating than actually being isolated along with other people. I mean, look at that Grand Princess or whatever that that ship was called, where they kept everyone on board.
Yeah, but it's like a death camp.
Of course it is, because first of all, how do they eat? I assume they either come down and all eat together, or
no, apparently it was delivered to their cabin doors, because initially they were allowed
by a guy with coronavirus.
Yeah,
and then they had air conditioning systems.
Yeah.
Where I assume they kept the air system on and their coronavirus just going around the ship. Yeah, it was like a hibernating space for the coronavirus.
Well, it should have been great as an experiment, shouldn't it? They could have tried different drugs on them. Cabin 1 to 5, you get sulfonamide. Cabin 6 to 10,
yeah,
you get benzyl, propyl alcohol, or whatever. But I was also going to ask you, if you were going to self-isolate for a fortnight, and you could have one other person with you.
Ooh, one other person. I've got to be careful what I say here, mate.
I mean, I know it would be Tracy.
Yeah.
Let's take Tracy out of the equation.
Oh, okay.
She's somewhere else. She's isolated with her children somewhere else. So you've got a free hand. Who would that person be? Remember, you've got them living with you for a fortnight.
Right, well, it wouldn't be you or Harvey Weinstein.
Or Michael Barrymore.
Or Michael Barrymore.
Yeah, invite Michael round. He can look after the pool. I'm thinking on a bigger scale. I'm thinking maybe, you know, if in theory it could be anyone, wouldn't it be interesting to have a fortnight with Julius Caesar, finding out his thoughts? For a start, what does he think of the modern day?
I'd be more interested to know whether he had a horse that had, instead of hooves, had fingers. And so did Alexander the Great. And they both had horses, apparently, where their hooves were
actually
toes.
Alexander the Great's was called Bucephalus.
Oh, very good. I thought that was something you caught.
By the way, a white horse walks into a pub.
Yeah.
And the barman says, hey,
why
we've
the long
got a
face?
Whiskey. We've got a whiskey named after you. And the horse says, what, Philip? Anyway, the other guy that I'd like...
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking...
Apart from Julius Caesar, yeah.
For a fortnight, you know, that's a long time. I reckon King Leonidas.
The Spartans.
Because, one, I think he could do me a good fitness regime that I could use in the garden.
Yeah, but he'd probably kill you.
But two, I'd like to ask him questions like, what do you think about the woke culture now at the moment in the UK? You know, it'd be really interesting. Asking someone like that, who was the king of Sparta, look at Britain, look at the state it's in now, how would you sort it all out?
This is Sparta! People in China now are given this app. Have you seen this app? And what it does is everywhere they go, they are monitored for their temperature by these temperature gauges. And that information somehow gets fed into their app. And if on your app this little target icon appears green, it means you're okay and you're allowed into tube stations and places like that. If it's yellow, it's a bit dodgy. If it's red, you are immediately escorted out of the country.
Tizzy camp to take a shower.
Thrown off the Great Wall.
No, you have to take a shower first. A certain person has claimed that the widespread and severity is actually fake news.
Mm.
It's being spread by certain media and the Democrats. So I wonder who that could be.
I've got no idea.
The best one is a guy that I used to like that I've now come to loathe with a passion, because he's proven himself that he's got the twit virus. A chap called Hugh Grant. Who ought to stick to acting. And he's just gone on Twitter, he's just gone ballistic, blaming the government for lack of checks on our borders, like customs. And in reply to him, some NHS experts have explained that temperature checks as a one-off and not a reliable indicator as to who's got it or who hasn't got it, because it could be in various stages of development. But nevertheless, they're not listened to, and dear old Hugh is having a rant. It's obviously the government's fault.
Well, this is not the Black Death, nor is it the Spanish flu. It is a flu that is probably less harmful than the normal flus that we get around. And as we know, it affects about 3% of under 30s in terms of fatality rates, and about 14% of
the over 80s.
Yeah, which is in line with normal flu. The bad thing about the coronavirus is it's just another flu. There's nothing worse about it. It's just another flu. And therefore, I suppose if you're in government, you have to walk this fine balancing act between closing everything down, not letting anyone
in.
Which
is what the Chinese did.
Eventually did. That is true.
But there's so little that we know about it in some aspects. So, for instance, the mortality rate seems to vary by country.
Well, it does, so and the health systems parts, they've got. And the,
yeah, some parts is up to 5%, other parts it's like 1%. And like you say, it might depend on how good the health system and the detection rate is in that country.
Well, yeah, the fatality rates from Iran put up the statistics of all the fatality rates, because possibly Iran hasn't got such a sophisticated health service. I don't know.
And also, if you're in a state-run prison being tortured,
it's
quite easy to put it, no, he died from the virus. No, it wasn't the electrodes going through his brain. And the saw, the beatings.
If there's anything in our podcast that may have affected you and you'd like to learn more about it, or you'd like to have some help and support, I'm afraid we don't supply anything like that. But you're welcome to come on to our Facebook page, which is obviously the Insane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men. Or you can contact us directly if you have a complaint or praise on our email at irocompodcast@gmail.com.